Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to talk college hockey. This is USCHO Live from U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com. USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. Be a part of the conversation. Give us a call now or message us on Twitter at USCHO. This is USCHO Live.
Good evening and welcome to USCHO Live for Tuesday, January 20th, 2015. I'm Ed Trefsker, soon to be joined by Jim Connolly. Tonight, we have a pair of guests who will be joining us at about 8:20 or so. We'll be joined by St. Lawrence University head coach Greg Carville. And then at about 8:40 or so, radio voice for the Minnesota Golden Gophers and also a narration voice for the Hobey Baker Award, Wally Shaver will be joining us. We'll be talking a little bit of Gopher hockey, some Big Ten, probably a little Hobey Baker, and some hockey in general. And we've got all that coming up here this evening, this week, on USCHO Live. We'll be getting into a few things. One of the things I definitely want to talk with Jim about is this week's TMQ, Tuesday Morning Quarterback column. And they talk about where things are in the pairwise. We're starting to get to the point where it's starting to be a little bit more relevant. Something else I'd like to bring to everyone's attention is a terrific article special to USCHO.com this week from Ken McMillan, a special report about the Riley family. And really now three generations of Rileys in the college hockey bloodline. Jack Riley, the father, the grandfather, Rob Riley, Brian Riley, and now Jack Riley, who's playing for Mercyhurst. And a terrific piece talking to the various members of the Riley family. And we encourage you to check that out at uscho.com. Also, lots of other things, some news on uscho.com, courtesy of Cap Carey at the Watertown Daily Times in New York State. Clarkson seeking funds for renovation of Chiel Arena. A few years ago when that arena opened, it was really one of the highlights of ECAC hockey. And as other schools around the league have developed new arenas or renovated, it's come time for Clarkson to do some updates. So they're beginning the efforts to do some fundraising for that. Just down the road from St. Lawrence, as we'll be talking with Greg Carville in just a little bit. We're going to take a quick pause and we'll bring Jim Connolly in just a moment. This is USCHO Live from USCHO.com.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. From U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. You could save.
Your friend, teacher, boss.
So learn FAST, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Psst, it's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American...
College hockey offers fast-paced action with the unmatched atmosphere of a college campus. Experience the passion and excitement as schools from across the country compete for the NCAA Division I national title. College hockey produces exemplary young men, including one-third of all NHL players, like Ryan Miller, Matt Molson, and Brian Gionta. Whether you're a fan of the game or a prospective player, nothing compares to the college hockey experience. Play it smart. Play college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com.
This is USCHO Live.
Well, we're still waiting for Jim Connolly to get connected here. We're eagerly and probably even with more emphasis now going to find a replacement to Blog Talk Radio, because once again we're having technical problems with it, which is really unfortunate. But they did manage to mess up what was a good thing with some of their updates and so-called improvements. So we're trying to get Jim in here connected very shortly. In the USCHO.com Division I poll this week, Minnesota State kind of emphasized its position at number one, getting 42 out of the 50 possible first place votes. They had a terrific weekend last weekend. They were able to have a sweep that may have been more difficult than it would look, but they did get a sweep last weekend. Stay to keep at number one. Looks like we're now joined by Jim Connolly. We'll get Jim on. Hey, Jim. Glad you could connect in. Good old Blog Talk Radio technical issues once again.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think we just had Jim just drop. I don't know if you can hear me, Jim, but we heard you say the word yeah, and that was it. Let's see if we can reconnect Jim here. This is incredibly frustrating. And he has dropped. Wonderful. Still at number two is, or moving up to number two from last week, is North Dakota. BU swaps places with them at number three. North Dakota getting 7 of the possible 50 first place votes. The other one going to Harvard, even though Harvard had a split on the weekend. Yeah, Jim's asking if we can hear him. No, he dropped. So we'll see if we can get him back on. No other surprises in the top 20 in the USCHO Division I men's poll, although we saw Merrimack leap quite a ways from number 20 to number 14. Quinnipiac plummeted as a result of last weekend from 12 down to number 20. We're going to take a quick break and we can get Jim back on here at USCHO Live.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. USCHO Live from U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that a new plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is USCHO Live.
And we're back with USCHO Live. I'm Ed Trevsker, and I think we have Jim Connolly now by telephone.
You definitely do if you can hear me, and I think in my right ear is you, and in my left ear is the program about to connect me through the internet. So what a crazy little night to start here, but
I see you on both sides. We'll punch you over. We'll keep you on hold on the phone, and we'll punch you over live via Skype. How's that? We should have you by
hopefully
Skype
working.
Now. There we go. Incredibly frustrating. You know, try to carry on a monologue and try to do some connections and so forth. So we've used up most of the first segment railing on Blog Talk Radio. But anyway.
Yeah, we really have. I'm actually hearing the program in two different places right now. But
anyway, we did hit on the poll. Nothing really that surprising. A great weekend last weekend for Merrimack. Tough weekend for Quinnipiac, and those are the biggest movers in the poll, really.
Yeah, and deservedly so. You know, I think the way that that Merrimack played and really is playing, we saw them out in Minnesota, and they didn't win that tournament, the Mariucci Classic, but they played some darn good hockey, and they took a weekend off, and I wondered how they would bounce back, and what a way to answer to hold Quinnipiac down in goals, particularly on the second night on the road, a great 3-1 win. I think I noted today when I was writing my column that this is the first time since they played Mercyhurst back in November, I think it was the 15th and 16th, that they scored 7 goals in a weekend, which if you're going to be a successful team, it's great to have a good defense, but you got to score some goals. And I think that it might be the key. If they can get their offense going, then I really believe that this is a team that could have a lot of success down the road.
Well, I'd like to jump over to something that you and Matthew Semish talked about in this week's TMQ and something we've talked about here in past weeks, and that's the strength of the WCHA and the NCHC in the pairwise rankings, albeit still about 2.5 months away from them really making things definitive. We're starting to see some stratification there. Those two leagues in particular with a lot of representatives.
You know, the one that I really look at is the NCHC. And both teams, both leagues, I believe it's 4 from the NCHC and 2 from the WCHA, all in the top 6. But when you look at what is happening with the NCHC, you have teams that have not put together the greatest record, but they are right up there in the pairwise. Nebraska-Omaha, the 10th best winning percentage, but they right now sit second in the pairwise. Minnesota Duluth, the 19th best winning percentage. They're 5th in the pairwise. It just shows, the opponents that they've beaten. Both of those teams have great strength of schedule. But then you couple that in with the fact that the NCHC has won two-thirds of their game out of conference, a .667 winning percentage right now. That alone is going to help the conference. But then when you put in the fact that some of these teams have contributed greatly to the strength of the schedule of the conference, that is going to elevate them. So you can be 13-8-1 as Minnesota Duluth. There's some teams of Quinnipiac, for example, 15-8-1. They're 20th in the pairwise. But Minnesota Duluth at 13-8-1 right now, they're 5th in the pairwise. So it really does show that if your conference can perform, and we say this all the time, if your conference can perform well out of conference, they're going to do a lot when it comes down to the pairwise.
And that has some recent and perennial teams for the NCAAs on the outside looking in if everything stopped inexplicably right now. But Michigan, Minnesota, Boston College, Quinnipiac, the first 4 teams out of the playoffs as things would stand right now, and actually probably one more, which would be Colgate, which is on the bubble because of the Atlantic Hockey. The Atlantic Hockey automatic qualifier. But there's a bit of ground to be gained by all those teams unless they win their league.
Yeah, and you can throw 2 more teams that have a lot of ground, and that's Cornell and Notre Dame. You know, Cornell drops to below .500 after last weekend. Notre Dame, they're there as well. They're getting back toward .500 after a tie and a win last weekend against UConn. There are a lot of teams with ground to make up. And part of it, you look at Michigan and Minnesota, both of them, I think a big part of the ground that they're making up really centers around the fact that neither had an unbelievable non-conference performance, and neither one of them are part of a conference that had a very good non-conference performance. So I think that the amount of space that needs to be made up by some of these teams is quite remarkable at this point. We can also look at the fact that right now, if you look at the pairwise, there is not a single team from the Big Ten in the top 16 right now. Unless I'm missing it, all of those teams in the Big Ten are 17 and below, Michigan being tied for 16th but losing to Colgate on the RPI. So it's kind of crazy. It might be only the Big Ten conference champion that makes it into the tournament. That would be the case if the season ended right now.
And if the rest of the Big Ten had to point fingers at somebody for that situation, I think much like Miami was the culprit last year in the NCHC, this year Wisconsin at 2-13-3 right now has a lot to do with how the Big Ten is sagging overall in the pairwise.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's Wisco that's just kind of bringing down that league, and they're playing some better hockey of late, but they're a bad start off the beginning of the season really is hurting that league right now.
One other thing that I wanted to bring up before we go to break, and I guess I'm going to probably go out on a limb a little bit here, but that was last weekend when Penn State hockey, after NCAA restored the wins to Joe Paterno, wore a 409 decal on the back of their helmets, kind of got some 4 and an 0 and a 9, maybe peeled it off some kitchen cleaner bottles, I don't know, wore 409 decals on the helmets, and that caused their athletic director Sandy Barber to call it inappropriate and insensitive. And I can understand the excitement there in State College about getting the wins restored and so forth, but it's such a difficult and sad situation overall. I think a quiet reaction instead of almost sticking your thumb in the eye of people who were hurt by this or people who had strong feelings about it. I think the athletic director summed it up well. I was really kind of appalled when I saw it last Friday.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked by it all, too. And we know Guy Gadowski so well, and he's a kind of conservative man in terms of his demeanor and his personality. So to see his team kind of making a little bit of a statement like that, that can be perceived as arrogant or even if it's just perceived simply as negative toward the university, not a good move. I don't think it can happen with pure independence by the players, but I kind of question how much he knew in the whole situation. Regardless, a little bit irresponsible by that team and that school. I love Guy and I love the program he's building there. I've never been a fan of just general athletics there, because I think that sometimes athletics gets to be a little bit bigger than the university itself. You can never do that on any college campus, and that's almost what it seems like happened yet again at Penn State.
Well, with that, we're running a little bit over with our difficulties, so we'll take a break now. We'll bring in our first guest, St. Lawrence head coach Greg Carville, when USCHO Live continues from USCHO.com.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. College hockey offers fast-paced action with the unmatched atmosphere of a college campus. Experience the passion and excitement as schools from across the country compete for the NCAA Division I national title. College hockey produces exemplary young men, including one-third of all NHL players, like Ryan Miller, Matt Molson, and Brian Gianta. Whether you're a fan of the game or a prospective player, nothing compares to the college hockey experience.
Play it smart. Play college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com.
This is USCHO Live.
Welcome back to USCHO Live. I'm Ed Trefsker.
And I am Jim Connolly, and we are joined right now by the head coach of St. Lawrence University in a team that has been playing some darn good hockey of late, and that is Greg Carville. Greg, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
Your team came down to New England last weekend, never an easy road trip. It's a long road trip to make, and when you face the fact that Harvard was on the receiving end of one of those games and Dartmouth the other, two tough teams. Harvard, the way they were playing coming into last weekend, about as hot as anybody could imagine. Just take us through those two games and the two victories your team was able to get.
Well, we started out at Dartmouth on Friday night, and I didn't think we played our best. It was a bit of a sloppy game on both sides, and those games where the referees take a lot of the energy out of the game, made a lot of calls. But we're starting to score goals, which was our problem through the middle part of the season, where we went on a stretch where we didn't win for a while. I thought we were playing real well enough to win, but the pucks were smart, fine in the back of the net. And at Dartmouth, we were opportunistic, and that was a game that maybe the first time all year we may not have won, played well enough to win, but we came away with a win. So it's often been the case where I thought we played well enough to win, but we lose it and play to the other side for once. Then we went into Harvard, and we caught them a little shorthanded. They're missing, you know, three of their better players. But regardless, we came out playing. We were ready to play. Our guys were excited to play that night. And we jumped up 3-0 early. They had a real strong pushback in the second period and got one back. But we were able to settle the game down about halfway through the second and then outscored them 2-0 the rest of the way. So, very happy with the weekend, obviously, but it's not like we raised our play that much. I really think we've been playing pretty consistently all year long, and it's one of the trademarks of this year's team.
Is that sometimes the case with a team? And I look at your schedule where you start out with a few good wins right at the beginning. Then you talked about that middle part. You just had a struggle to score goals. Sometimes teams where you don't have that unbelievable superstar, that sometimes that offensive struggle can just become almost a bit of a crutch that you have to overcome in a season to make it a success.
Yeah, we lost some high-end offensive guys last year. Hobie Baker finalists and Greg Carey, and we knew this year offense wasn't going to come as easily. But that stretch where we lost four or five in a row, those were against the best defensive teams in the country. We lost to Clarkson 2-1. We lost to Quinnipiac in overtime 3-2, and we lost to Vermont 2-0 and 2-1. So I know those are three of the better defensive teams in the country, so they're not easy teams to score against. And we had Northeastern after those games and started scoring again, and it's ramped up to the point where we had 3-5 this weekend. So we do it by committee. We have 22 players that played for us this year, and all 22 guys have scored at least one goal. So we're getting real consistency throughout all four lines and all six of our D. So, this weekend, I thought we were very opportunistic. It's been a focus of ours after going through that stretch where we weren't winning games that we had to bear down and finish our chances, and I think starting to see the fruits of that.
We're talking with Greg Carville, head coach of St. Lawrence. And Greg, I look at your goaltender, Kyle Hayton, an 11-9-2 record. It might not seem stellar, but you put the save percentage. He sees a lot of shots. And to have a .937 save percentage coupled with a 2.02 goals against average shows that he's seeing the shots and he's making a lot of saves night in, night out. Can you talk about what his performance, especially as a freshman, has meant to your team this year?
Yeah, he's been simply outstanding from the first game and has been consistent. His game hasn't dropped a bit. Early in the season, we're a very young team. Five of our six defensemen are freshmen, sophomores. He's a freshman, and we dress a number of freshman forwards. So early in the season, we weren't a real tight defensive team, and he really, bailed us out a lot early on. But as the season's gone on, We've grown to be a much better defensive team. We do give up a lot of shots, but, you know, to me that's not indicative of, you know, of how the games go. We give up a lot of shots from the outside. He's a heck of an athletic goalie, and he finds ways to make saves. He battles. He competes. He's a great goaltender to play in front of. His teammates love playing for him because they know he's battling as hard as they are. We're to the point now where I feel like even though we give up, you know, get out shot a lot of nights, I don't feel like we get out chanced in accordance with the shot. So we're playing better in front of him. He continues to play outstanding and make huge saves when we need him. And like you said, we're 11-9-2, and most nights that we win, he's a big factor.
Greg, what's the one area you mentioned offense a little bit and scoring goals is nice, but what is the one area at this point, if you could just pinpoint to improve on, that you'd love to see your team increase its ability or just improve to make this more of a successful campaign?
Well, the one thing that wasn't working at the end of the first semester was our power play, and we retooled it and changed it around and put a couple different people on it, and that's starting to come around. We were 2-for-2 against Harvard, and since Christmas, I think our power play has been better. That's the one area that we really needed to focus on. Our PK has been strong all year. I think we're top 10 in the country in the penalty kill, and we might even be top 10 in the country in defense. I know we were 12th not too long ago. So it's really just the offense. We really feel like if we can continue to find ways to get at, you know, just one more goal a night, that we're going to do well, because – you know, the games that we've lost this year, outside of Colgate beat us 5-2, and outside of that game, I can't really think of another game that was more than a one goal loss. So, I've been very happy with this team this year. Like I said, our effort is consistent every night. I think we play hard, we play fast, we play the way I like to see, you know, hockey play, with a lot of tempo and puck possession. But as long as we can get that extra goal, I like our chances.
We're talking with Greg Carville, St. Lawrence head coach. His team upset Harvard on the road last Saturday night 5-1, and this weekend we'll start off another nationally ranked team in Yale Friday at home before battling Brown on Saturday. Greg, changing just a little bit to your league, the ECAC, obviously the last two national champions in college hockey in Union last year, Yale the year before. What have you seen as an impact of those championships on your program? Particularly, I guess I'm looking in the recruiting area, guys that just maybe recognize that league a little bit more. Has there been a benefit for your school?
There has to be. You know, it's not always evident. We're recruiting, you know, kids for 2 and 3 years out. But, you know, we compare ourselves to Union. We're, you know, a very similar size school. You know, small student body, kind of a remote, very good education, very good academics. So, you know, to be able to tell, say to recruits that the last two national champions come from our league, it has to carry some weight. I think our league is outstanding, you know, from top to bottom. You know, every game, you know, the competition is outstanding. I like the way our league plays. We play a real tough physical brand of hockey. It's a really, you need to be ready to compete in the ECAC. And I think that's why recently you've seen a lot of success in the NCAA tournament. Is just, you know, we get well tested in our league. And I know as a coach in our league and knowing the other coaches, we have a ton of respect for each other. And the league keeps getting better and better. So very, very proud to be a member of the ECAC.
It does feel like that league sometimes has a bit of a feeling of a grind to it. You see, you know, some teams, and we've seen obviously two national champions, but some really good teams, Quinnipiac coming out, your team, Colgate, in the last few years, they have some very good non-conference play, but then when they get back into league play, it just feels like a rock'em sock'em boxing match where one guy's beating up the other, and the losses that come for some of these teams are just losses to league members. Top to bottom, is this league becoming more competitive since you first got into it?
Yeah, I think so. My history's not that long. It's just my third year as the head coach. But that's the way I feel. You know, outside of, you know, Princeton's having a bit of a rough season. They're going through some transition. But other than that, I tell our guys, it really doesn't matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter where anybody stands in the standings. You know, in our league, every night, if you're not ready to compete and really be ready to battle, you're not going to win. And I think that's just the brand of our league. And, you know, and that's what I like about my team is that most nights we're ready to beat. We're ready to compete.
Well, St. Lawrence is a team that it should be dangerous down the stretch. Like I said, Yale this weekend, a nationally ranked opponent, ranked number 13 right now, Brown, on Saturday night. You get those two games at home. But all league games from here on out should be an interesting trek. Greg Carville, we wish you the best of luck, and thanks so much for your time tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
And we'll be back
we'll be
with
right
more
back.
Of you at...
We can talk over each other. Right back with USCHO Live. Wally Shaver from University of Minnesota will be coming up after the break.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. USCHO Live from U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6:30 to 90.4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
College hockey offers fast-paced action with the unmatched atmosphere of a college campus. Experience the passion and excitement as schools from across the country compete for the NCAA Division I national title. College hockey produces exemplary young men, including one-third of all NHL players. like Ryan Miller, Matt Molson, and Brian Gionta. Whether you're a fan of the game or a prospective player, nothing compares to the college hockey experience. Play it smart. Play college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com.
This is USCHO Live.
Well, Jim, as we were hearing that College Hockey Inc. announcement just before we came back, I was thinking to myself, you know what, we need one for the Hobie Baker Award, and then everybody could hear the voice that they hear booming from video screens all around the U.S. during college hockey playoff time.
Yeah, that's our next guest, as it would happen to be, and that's Wally Shaver. He's the voice of Minnesota radio, but if you've gone to an NCAA tournament, you've seen the great Hobie Baker videos that are done every year. He is also the voice of the Hobie Baker Award, if you will. And Wally, I know you probably don't identify yourself like that, but it's the way I think a lot of people in college hockey do these days. So welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure to be on, and it's just, speaking of the Hobie, it's just such a fun project for me to be involved with. I just have a great time with it, because I tell you what, when we get down to those final 10 kids, I don't know how the committee picks a winner. They're just outstanding human beings and great college hockey athletes.
You know, I served on the committee for 3 years, and in each of those 3 years, I think every one of the seasons, I felt like there was always a standout candidate. But the day I cast my vote, I always had a difficult time doing it. And one of the years, it was when Mac Gilroy won it, I actually changed my mind the day of the balloting and didn't vote for Mac Gilroy. Admitting that one, you can say you got it wrong, but there were so many good guys and there were so many great candidates with ability and off-ice accolades that make that award pretty special. And I know we didn't really want to talk Hobie tonight, but it kind of went in that direction. That's something that amazes me about that award, how many good people there are, not just good college hockey players.
Yeah, and you know, I agree, Jim, because one of the things that really excites me about that is, as involved as we are in the college hockey scene, with 59 teams, you just don't get a chance to really know everybody that's involved in the game. And when we get down to this top 10, you know, there's guys I hadn't really heard much about at all, and all of a sudden you're finding out these tremendous backgrounds and what they've achieved off the ice, how they are in the classroom, what they're taking for studies, and it's just amazing how some of these guys just pull it all together. That top 10 is really an elite group of people.
Yeah, that's certainly right, and it's a real pleasure to get to know those back stories, those back channel stories, because we see it on the ice, and videotape can only do so much in describing these players. Wally, I want to get to really to the reason I wanted to have you on tonight. An interesting tournament in its second year will take place this weekend out in Minnesota at the XL Energy Center, and that's the North Star College Cup. It's a conceived tournament by the University of Minnesota where you bring four of the five teams from the state in every year. One team, because it's a four-team tournament, one of the five Minnesota teams have to be left out. But we're going to have some pretty good matchups here with Bemidji State and Minnesota Duluth in one of the games. That's the 4 o'clock game, Central Time on Friday. But I think the marquee matchup that everybody's expecting here, Minnesota getting to play number one in the country, Minnesota State. Obviously, the Gophers were one for a long time, and now they're going to get to play a Mavericks team that we know is pretty good and is coming in one of the hottest teams in the country. Drop me a little bit of a preview of what we should expect, particularly from that second game this weekend.
Well, in that second game, I haven't seen Minnesota State yet this year, but did see them a couple times last year, and I really liked how they played last year. And we knew coming in that this was a club that was getting most of their players back from a year ago. So there's a lot of experience on that team, and I think that's a big difference in college hockey. Teams that they don't necessarily have to be the oldest team in the country, but if you've got a lot of guys that have a lot of game experience under the belt in college hockey, that's a huge difference maker. And that's what Minnesota State has. And they've been beating a lot of good teams in the process. So they're for real. It's wonderful for the city of Mankato. And and for Coach Mike Hastings, because they've really developed that program to be where they're at right now. And, you know, here's a chance where they can really make a great run, and they're very deserving of it. On the other side, Minnesota, we've had our troubles in the early part of the year just putting a complete game together. I think inconsistency has hampered the team somewhat. We've been playing a lot better here in the second half of the schedule, and really had a great outstanding weekend last weekend against Wisconsin when they put 99 shots on goal in two games. Still couldn't score all the time as much as we'd wanted, but still managed a 2-2 tie and a 5-2 win. So that aspect was encouraging. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. And I think from Minnesota's standpoint, it's becoming paramount that they have to do well at this tournament, particularly Friday night. They're down in the pairwise, just barely on the bubble right now as a team. And you've got a few Big Ten teams that are doing quite well this year. So there's no lead pipe cinch at winning the conference and getting the automatic berth in the NCAA. If it were to happen today, Minnesota would probably be out, because you've got your six conference winners automatically in and then 10 seeds from there. And I don't think Minnesota would be in one of the top 10 seeds at this point. So beating a good team like Minnesota State will certainly help advance their pairwise ranking, and that's going to be a critical viewpoint from everybody with the program associated with that game.
Yeah, these in-season tournaments, not just holiday tournaments, but then this one and then the Bean Pot, which happens out here in Boston, where it's not exactly aligned with all the other holiday tournaments. You got to realize sometimes that there's a lot of pomp and circumstance and enjoyment around the tournament itself, but the games really matter. The tournament itself, though, it's a creation of Minnesota. It's the University of Minnesota, and it sounds like something that wants to somewhat rival what Boston has created with the Bean Pot. How successful do you think this event can be, and does it take any sort of real magic between the teams and competition and rivalries developing, or is this just a tournament that, because Minnesota loves their hockey so much, it can have its success?
Well, it's I think, multifaceted on your point there, because, first of all, some of these schools have had pretty good rivalries over the course of time. Even teams like Bemidji and St. Cloud State going back to their D2 days. And same with when it was called Mankato State back in those days. And those were great rivalries between those schools. And then, of course, Duluth and the Gophers have had a longstanding one since the early 60s. So it's just really neat, though, I think, for the fans in our area here, since the conferences were basically exploded 2 years ago or a year ago, that these five schools within the state of Minnesota have all gone into three different conferences now. But it's good to keep these guys together and do what the Bean Pot has done and do what the GLI has done, and keep those in-state teams together playing in a tournament. We certainly have a ways to go, being only in the second year of it, but I really think there's tremendous growth and upside potential, and that's why right from the outset they wanted to play this tournament at the XL Energy Center, where there would be adequate seating. But it's a fun tournament. It's great when the teams are doing well that are coming into it, and that's kind of what we have as a class this year. So it's going to be fun, and I think this thing is only going to grow over history, but it's something that is really near and dear to a lot of people here in the state of Minnesota who follow college hockey, and they get a chance to basically see these kids that you grew up next door to, because most of these rosters are heavily laden with Minnesota-bred kids.
We're speaking with Wally Shaver, radio voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Wally, one of the great rivalries that stayed intact after the mishmash and dispersion of all the leagues was that of Minnesota and Wisconsin. Even though the Badgers are having a pretty abysmal season this year, the rivalry seemed to really rekindle itself last weekend, especially late in that 5-2 win by the Gophers. What the heck happened there with about a minute and a half or so left in that game?
Well, yeah, that's the old-fashioned hockey rivalry right there, because even in the old WCHA days, Minnesota and Wisconsin would play, two games in Madison and two games in Minneapolis just about every single year. And so that rivalry has never deteriorated, and I think because it's one of the ones that has a carryover into the new alignment in college hockey, that it maybe just got intensified a little bit here this last weekend. But You know, things just got a little bit out of control. There was a lad from Wisconsin who threw a hit to the head with 30 seconds left in the game, and that drew the ire of the Gopher players on the ice. And basically, you had everybody, all 10 players, pairing off, and no real fights going on. But, you know, it was, I think from, you know, the defensive side here with Minnesota, it was good to see our guys do that and respond that way. And also to pick up the win in the process. So that never hurt. But that rivalry is there. It's been there for a long, long, long time. I think from Wisconsin's standpoint, it's either the first or second most played games in their history. So, and that certainly would rank up there, too, with Minnesota, and, although not at the top. But certainly it's intense. And these two teams have traded national championships over the year and have had a lot of great hockey players go up against one another. So it's intense, and I think this is just a continuation of it, and it's regardless of where their records are, as last weekend proved.
You mentioned earlier about the Gophers kind of on the bubble right now in the pairwise, and a lot of that has to do with the overall non-conference record of the Big Ten. And of course, it's very front-loaded, all the non-league games, almost all of them happening early in the season. But is this an era at the beginning of the Big Ten where the six teams in the league are sort of all together having kind of down years, or most of them kind of having a soft time of it right now? Is the Big Ten really kind of starting out on a down note?
Well, I think it's more of a feeling out note. You know, it's so new for these schools to all be competing against one another, because, you know, you had two teams from WCHA, three teams from the CCHA that came into one, and then you brought in these new kids on the block out of Penn State. So it was, you know, kind of strange to try to figure out who had what. And it almost means that these coaches, too, are going to have to sit back and see, okay, what kind of team do we have to build for our conference here? It's a little bit different than the three CCH state-based teams, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, when they had their rivalries, but they had other teams that they had to play. And same with the Gophers and for Wisconsin. They had other teams that they played. So there wasn't a whole lot of crossover. Now you got that. And I think it's something that takes time. I mean, it's obviously there with other Big Ten intercollegiate sports, but for hockey, it's a little bit different. And time will tell on this one, but I think as you get into it and time goes on, it's certainly going to be intense rivalries that do get established, because it's going to come that way naturally, just from the sheer part that you have to play four times each year, and then that's going to build the rivalry.
Man, I can only see this league in 10 years just being a rock'em sock'em league every single night with how much you have to play. Wally, before we let you go, and we're talking with Wally Shaver, the voice of Minnesota hockey. Before we let you go, last year's Minnesota team, I think, you know, listening to a lot of fans and some of the media from Minnesota, people didn't think that was a Frozen Four team, let alone a team that was one game away from a national title. They thought it was this year. This was going to be their year. Is Minnesota still that team, in your opinion, now that you've seen them for almost two-thirds of their game? Are they in that position to be that national championship contender?
Well, I think last year was unique because I really do think they overachieved. And it happened to be a good group of kids that just really got along, and they did everything together and fought for each other, and it just it came to fruition. It's just one of those things. You don't predict it. Believe me, I was the first guy in the bandwagon saying this is going to be a tough year from the outset. But as we went along, you could just see the team evolve into what they eventually became, which was a finalist team. This year is a little bit different. I mean, we lost four seniors that all graduated, didn't lose anybody to the pros, and the natural assumption was, yeah, this is going to be a really good team, and I think it is. But I just don't think everybody is playing at the level that they were last year. And that's going to be the difference here in the second half. Can everybody bring up their level of competitiveness and intenseness to another level and compete on the national level? Or are we going to kind of struggle along and be, you know, three or four games above 500 like we are right now? So that will be the test. And I think the skill set certainly is there. And it's just, can some of these guys who are having average years elevate themselves for the second half?
Well, I know we'll be watching, and it's a team that we follow very closely out here on the East Coast, and we enjoy when Minnesota gets to come out here. But this weekend, if you're in the Minnesota, Minneapolis-St. Paul area, two great nights of hockey. Friday night, Bemidji State, Minnesota, Duluth at 4 o'clock, Minnesota, Minnesota State at 7 o'clock. The following night, the consolation game and championship game, 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock again. Wally Shaver, the radio voice of the Gophers, we really appreciate your time, your coming on tonight and sharing some insight. Not just a good hockey team, but a great tournament that's going to be played this weekend, so enjoy the games.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's my pleasure, as always, to be on with you guys. And this tournament is going to certainly grow over time, and it's just going to be a ton of fun. It's a great showcase, especially coming off of Hockey Day in Minnesota last weekend, which showcased just hockey all over the state, from high schools to college to pro. So, yeah, we're in a neat little era here right now.
That's Wally Shaver, and we'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment here on USCHO Live.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. This is USCHO Live.
And we're back with USCHO Live on USCHO.com. I'm Ed Trefsker with Jim Connolly. Just following up on the conversation with Wally, it does seem to me that it is sort of a stretch of down years. It's been rebuilding for Michigan State. Ohio State's been kind of, you know, kind of middle of the pack. Michigan has had a few good wins, but they've been sort of in the middle of things too. So everybody kind of converging toward 500 on the top four teams, and then the rest of the league kind of sagging. So hopefully they can turn it around. And hopefully, as you mentioned, looking at that league going forward, hopefully we're talking about an 8 or 10 team Big Ten in about 10 years.
Well, that would be nice, but just in the current, you know, I think that this league is going to have to do some pretty good stuff late here in the season. And I know they play an insular schedule from here on out for the most part, and it's going to be teams beating one another up. You just got to hope that it's not split weekends all around for that league, because if you don't have some of these teams that are around the bubble, like Michigan, like Minnesota, if you don't have them starting to sweep some weekends, you're going to be in a position where they're going to be playing that last Saturday in March for the one spot in the NCAA field. The Big Ten title game will be the team that goes and nobody else. So I don't think that's what this league was designed for, and I know that's not what they want to see. So hopefully we see some better hockey out of these teams really soon.
Well, as Wally mentioned, that big weekend of games, if Minnesota were able to beat both Minnesota State and then advance to take on Minnesota Duluth and get those wins under their belt, that could move them up quite a bit in the pairwise and cement them in a good spot going forward. That sounds like a great tournament. That, other than the Beanpot, really kind of wraps up the in-season tournaments, and I think it's a great tradition they've started out there.
I think it's the right thing to do. You have the right market, and there's five teams out there, and because this is Minnesota's tournament, the one team that gets excluded, and this year it is, what am I missing here? I'm missing one of the Minnesota teams, but the University of Minnesota then gives that team two games during their season. I think it's St. Cloud is the team this year, so Minnesota played them for two games outside of that, so that these teams every year can kind of factor in. You're playing two games that are part of this tournament, whether they are part of actually those four teams or the one team that's left out that gets to play the Gophers in a two-game series. I think it's great. You know, obviously the Big Ten with Minnesota, they needed non-league games, so this was a great way to start and establish it. But, you know, if you're putting a good crowd in the XL, and it seems every time they go there for any hockey games, whether it's the tournament or, you know, any special games that are played outside of there, a Hall of Fame game or whatever, they pack them in that building and, you know, putting 15, 16, 17, 18, they can go all the way up to high 19,000s in that building, as we saw with a couple of Frozen Fours. Awesome atmosphere. It's just one of my favorite buildings in college hockey, and you know, I would love to be out there this weekend. And in your point about Minnesota and where they are 17th in the rankings, and I think they're 17 or 18 in the pairwise. You know, I look at last weekend in Vermont, they played Northeastern, and they got a tie and a loss against the Huskies at home. They're right now 12th in the pairwise, tied for 12th in the pairwise. But I did the math. If Vermont had just swept that series against a team that they really should have beat, especially at home, they'd be 4th in the pairwise. So it shows you, you know, Minnesota is playing, you know, two very high teams in the pairwise, in Minnesota State and Minnesota Duluth this weekend. Potentially Duluth. It could be Bemidji, obviously, on the second night. Mm-hmm. But if you were to get those two wins, you can't plug it in because it's so dynamic, but you've got to assume that Minnesota could take a major step, and we're talking maybe even get 8 or higher in the pairwise with those two wins if they were to happen. So you got to think that Don Lucia's club is really focused on, boy, these games, they're non-league games, they're not Big Ten games, but boy, do they mean a lot more than just a little wooden trophy at the end of it.
Well, there's some big games in Hockey East on Wednesday night, number 19 BC hosting number 14 Merrimack, and BC having a bit of a down year in the bottom part of the top 20, but that's a big game for them. Merrimack coming off a terrific weekend. But even more interesting are the two-game series on the weekend, I think. You're going to see home and home. I believe you'll see that. UMass Lowell at number 5 and number 18 Providence. I am a real admirer. You get to see him all the time, but I really think that Norm Bazin has done just a remarkable job in his really short tenure at UMass Lowell, and I think that that's a team that's going to be battling for possibly the Frozen Four again this year.
Yeah, you know, in Providence is in a very similar situation where you have Nate Lehman. Him and Norm came into their teams, their respective teams in Hockey East. Nate had been a Division I head coach at Union. Norm had been in Division III, but those two coaches have done so much for their programs to build them up, to do some great jobs recruiting, to put in systems in place that have made them competitive year in and year out. So they're both in year number four. Year number four for both of those coaches. Norm has taken his team to 3 national tournaments and a Frozen Four. Nate has been there. I believe they've gone to 1 national tournament in those 3 years. These are teams that were literally turned around by these young, energetic head coaches. And when these two teams go at it, you can almost see the personalities of the coaches coming out in it, that there's some hard-nosed hockey playing. I think of both of the games last year that were played. It was a game down in Providence on the Friday night of the weekend where Lowell was up 4-2 in the third period and end up losing 5-4, and it was 3 quick goals that Providence just exploded for, and I believe Lowell lost 4 of its top players to injuries in that game, and you just expected them to get blown out of the water the next night, and I believe Lowell won 6-1 at home the next night. So it's almost unpredictable what happens between those two clubs, but a very intense, somewhat rivalry, but intense series that is developing between these two schools that'll play out this week, and I really, really do look forward to both of those games.
BU at number 3 heads up to Gutterson for a pair against Vermont. That should be a good series as well.
And what's interesting about that is BU rallied for a 4-3 overtime win on Sunday against Lowell. They had lost to BC on Friday. You know, lose to your rival, and then you're trailing the upstart Lowell team 3-1 in the second period. You come back, tie it, and then win it in overtime. They easily could have been going into Vermont on somewhat a similar note that the Catamounts are on right now, where Vermont, I have some concerns about whether they might have hit their peak already this season. They haven't played really that great of hockey since they came back from the break. So for both teams, a little bit of a litmus test. BU, because they need to start proving that they should be one of the top 10 teams in this country, top 5 teams in this country. They're sitting at 8 in the pairwise, but 3rd in our poll. Vermont because they need to make their case that they belong in the national tournament. This is a team that had an unbelievable first half, but they've really slipped in the second half. So both of those teams have something to prove this weekend. For Vermont, it's nice to be at home. Now can they take advantage of that? BU, what can they do on the road? There's so much up for grabs in that series as well.
Last weekend, Miami was off. This weekend, they're home and they host Denver, who swept St. Cloud at home last weekend. That's the premier marquee NCHC matchup this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, these are two teams that seem, at least on paper, to be quite evenly matched. So Denver, they've played a lot better than I thought that they were going to at times this year. I didn't know if they had it in them to be this good of a team, but they do seem like they are, they're proving themselves. And, you know, you put Miami in there, and these are two teams that are right there on the top of the pairwise and, you know, battling to try to move up and, you know, maybe get a number one seed out of it if either one of them could have some success down the stretch here. So this is that should be another really hard-fought series. They're teams that didn't see a lot of each other when they were CCHA and WCHA, but now in the NCHC, despite the miles between them, that should be a little bit of a rivalry, because I think that you add in North Dakota, I think that those are three of the best teams in the NCHC at its onset here. They should be all battling each year for a lot of the supremacy in that conference.
The big rivalry, big tradition, Harvard on Friday at Cornell at Lina, but the next night in the Quonset Hut, that is Star Rink, Harvard taking on Colgate, a matchup of two top 15 teams.
Yeah, it's funny. You can look forward to that Harvard-Colgate game with two nationally ranked teams, but we got to remember that Cornell for most of the season was ranked. They haven't lived up to their expectations, but add in the fact that it's Harvard that's coming into their building, and Harvard is the better team on paper, in polls, everything. And this is a Cornell team that should have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, knowing that this is a Harvard team they've dominated for quite some time now. And it's almost like BC, BU, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Minnesota. You can throw out the records. They don't matter. Harvard can't look past that game, especially coming off that game against St. Lawrence. They can't look past Friday's game thinking about Colgate on Saturday. That Cornell game is going to be as hard-fought and as tough as any game that they're going to play this year. And it goes back to what I was asking Greg Carville about. This just feels like a league that every single year, every league game becomes a boxing match, and you're just trying to survive punch for punch for punch. And if you can do that very, very well, then you're not only setting yourself up probably to win the ECAC title, but to get yourself a high rank in the national tournament, because it's just that hard to be a dominant team in the ECAC.
One other matchup, one other series I'd like to mention. Robert Morris has dropped to number 21 and hasn't been able to get back into the top 20, but they've got a tough pair of games at Holy Cross this weekend. If Robert Morris were to sweep that series, they would be in a position to kind of run away with Atlantic Hockey, and Holy Cross would fall from a two-way tie in fourth place down to possibly as low as seventh place or maybe even eighth place in the conference, now probably seventh place. But a Holy Cross sweep would put the Crusaders back in the mix of things and keep the rest of the league on the heels of Robert Morris. That probably will be a great pair of games there in Worcester.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I was starting to look at the schedule prepping for this segment, I was noticing, you know, sometimes we just look at the nationally ranked, but I looked at Atlantic Hockey and saw that one. I think that's usually a pretty darn good series. Anybody that goes to Holy Cross knows they're in for a test. And particularly the fact that the Saturday game is a 3 o'clock game, so it's that short turnaround, and I sometimes think that favors the home team. You slept in your beds, you had more of a comfort, but some coaches say when they go on the road, because of the structure that goes behind road trips, meals at certain times, and the ability to stretch and exercise and maybe even have a skate on that second day in the morning just to get the guys, get some oxygen flowing, that can be what is regulates a team and makes them competitive. So I do think that this is a big weekend for Robert Morris. If they can sweep Holy Cross right here, they're putting their foot down and saying, guys, you got to start paying attention. I think if they were to win these two games, if I'm right, I don't have the standings up, but I think that would be 16 and 17 wins for them. you know, when you get that much and it's only, you know, mid to late January, you haven't even played the Super Bowl. If you get 17 wins before Super Bowl Sunday, you're a pretty good team in college hockey, no matter what conference you play in. And that's where Robert Morris sits right now. I just pulled it up. They'd be 17-5-4. That's a heck of a record to be looking, you know, still 1 week in January remaining.
The other one that I'm going to mention, since I'm going to see it, and I think we'll wrap up at that, RIT is at Bentley for a pair of the Tigers, 3 wins and a tie in their last 4 games. Bentley 1-2-1. Either Bentley can open up a league and move up towards the top of the league with a sweep, or RIT can move back up towards the top. That should be a pretty good series at the John A. Ryan Skating Arena.
Yeah, and that's where the whole 3-7 in Atlantic hockey, with Mercyhurst at 22 points and RIT at 18 points. You're talking 2 games separating 3rd and 7th place in that league. That's an accordion right now. So everything that happens with those teams, a sweep for any of those 5 teams, Mercyhurst, Bentley, Holy Cross Air Force, RIT, any of those teams sweep in a given weekend, it just really does so much to either solidify or put you back in a picture. So any of those teams, whatever series they're involved in, are big games, because we know the advantage to being toward the top of that league in terms of first-round buys and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. The top 5 teams get a first-round bye, but the fifth-place team knows it won't have a home playoff series because
right.
It will go to the fourth-place teams. Very,
yeah.
Very odd with 11 teams.
It is. It's what Hockey East faced last year, but it really does put a premium on the regular season to get those buys.
Well, I guess we'll wrap things up there for this week's edition of USCHO Live. Jim, enjoy the hockey this weekend. I'm sure you will. It's a great series you're going to see.
Yeah, you as well. And I think that, John A. Ryan, it's one of the old barns. I remember being part of a lot of high school hockey games in that building. Has a lot of character. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep, and that's probably a good place to leave it. So, Jim, we'll catch you next week for USCHO Live here at USCHO.com.